amen. That's where I'm going. That's my home, amen. Sweet, sweet Beulah Land. I hope and pray this morning you can say the same as well, that you know without a doubt that Beulah Land is your home. I know that I know that I know that I'm going there. And I've got that assurance deep down in my heart and deep down in my soul because Jesus told me so, amen. And I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Open your Bibles with me today to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. I want to read to you verse 21 down through verse 26. Acts 27, verse 21, down through verse number 26. And I want to talk to you a little bit on staying steady on a stormy sea. Staying steady on a stormy sea. Bible says in verse 21, "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not loose from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." You ought to make sure you mark that. Paul identifies, or he prophesies right here in verse 22, before it all takes place, he says, "For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am." I like that. Paul says, "I know that I know that I know. I know I have Christ as my Savior, and I got an angel that stood by me, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Not one of them are going to perish." You know, that's a great verse right there talking about eternal security in Jesus Christ. Once you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, not one of you is going to perish, amen. Not one of you is going to die outside of faith in Jesus Christ. God says here in verse 24, Paul says, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, and notice he still be respectful. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." If God said it, that settles it.
Amen.
If God said it, I know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Now, as we read this text of Scripture, we find that Paul, of course, he's on his way right here to Rome to stand trial before Caesar. And in order to get to Rome, you know, Paul was required to sail there on a ship. Matter of fact, if you'll jump back up to verse 4 and verse 7, you'll find that Luke chronicles the journey in this chapter all the way through this chapter. And notice here in verse 4 and verse 7 in the beginning, the sailing was slow because the winds were not favorable. The winds were tough on them. There were some bad winds going on there on the sea. And then we find in verse 8, the captain docked the ship in a place that's called the Fair Havens. That's the name of the place, the Fair Havens, while they waited for more favorable weather. And then if you'll jump down to verse 9, Bible says, after a few days, the sailing became dangerous. See that word dangerous in verse 9? The word dangerous comes from a word which means prone to fail. In other words, you're going to fail. I don't care how bad it is. You know, it's dangerous waves, it's dangerous waters, it's dangerous times, and you're going to fail. Now, the signs were all around them. This would be a dangerous journey. And realizing how dangerous the seas were becoming, notice here that Paul, he told the soldiers guarding him the trip would involve the possible loss of the ship. He says there's going to be possible loss of the cargo, even the lives of the passengers. They're in verse 10. And then if you notice in verse 11, Paul's advice was ignored. And the journey continued on, the Bible tells us in verse 11. And then in verse 13, it tells us the sailors, they enjoyed a soft south wind. And the Bible says they believed all was well. Because that soft south wind, everything is going to be okay. And they left the harbor where they were docked, and they set sail. So they thought, even though we know what Paul is saying, even though we hear what the preacher is saying, we're not going to listen to the man of God. And then notice here in verse 14 down through verse 20, not long after they set sail, the ship found itself caught up in a storm called Euroclydon. That word Euroclydon refers to a storm from the east. That's what Euroclydon means. You might want to mark that in your margin there. A storm from the east. And notice here in verse 14 down through verse 20, it talks about the severity of the storm. It tells us how bad the storm really is. Now, the sailors, they worked hard to take the ship where they wanted it to go, but the storm was so strong, the storm was so violent, the Bible says they were forced to allow the ship to be driven by the winds. Notice there in verse 15, and then in verse 17, down through verse 18, notice that word drive or driven that you find in those verses. The Bible says the ship was driven not by the people, The ship was driven by the winds. And the sailors did everything in their power to control the ship. They were doing all they could to make it go in the right way, even to the point of taking down the main mast to lighten the burden on the ship. We find that in verse 19. And notice that the storm continued for many, many desperate days, and there was many hopeless nights, and the waves rolled, and the wind shrieked, and the ship was tossed like a cork on a vast sea, amen. And then in verse 20, eventually, hope was abandoned. And the Bible says there everyone came to believe they were going to die. They thought, surely this is it. I mean, we battled this and we battled this and we've worked and we've labored and we have did everything we could to keep this ship afloat, and this ship wants to go down anyway. And the ship and the sailors, of course, they were in the hands of God. But what they didn't realize was there was a man in their midst who knew the God who controls the storms, amen. You see, this man, Paul, he's been in contact with the God of the storms. And this man, Paul, had received a communication from God. And the verses we've read here today as our main text, you know, it shares the message that Paul received from the God who controls the storms, amen. Now, what God shared with Paul right here, and what Paul in turn shared with the sailors, it is a message that I believe with all my heart, I believe we need to hear right now in 2017. Because I'll be honest with you this morning, you look out across this world today, we're living in stormy times, amen. We're living in rough, rugged, ungodly times. We're living in times where it seems like there's a storm raging on every corner, and we're not sailing on a ship, but let me just say, we are in a storm today. Right here in America, we're in a storm. In our world, we're in a storm, amen. And if you're unable to hear the winds, if you're unable to feel the waves, if you're unable to know that we're in dangerous times, let me just say, you're either willfully blind or you're out of touch with reality. Because we are living in bad days. We are living. I don't mean to be a prophet of doom and gloom, but let me just be honest. You turn on your TV, you watch your news station, you listen to your radio, you look at the newspapers, whatever, you look at internet, you know, anything you want to look at, and you'll find that we're living in dangerous times, amen. But I doubt any of us are missing the warning signs which are all around us. You know, the storm in which we find ourselves is made up of many elements. I mean, I think about right now, you know, regardless of the source, the storm winds are blowing right now. And they are combining to create a storm of apocalyptic proportions, amen. Because we're living in days where I believe with all my heart, we're living in the last days. I believe with all my heart, we're at the doorstep of the Lord coming back and taking his children out of this world, amen. Because you see all the storms that are brewing. You see all the chaos, all the division, all the stress, all the tension that's brewing. And the only thing that's going to save us is Jesus Christ. Yes. The only thing that's going to get us out of here is the Lord. Amen. You say, but what kind of winds are you talking about? I think about the winds of racial division are blowing. Amen. You know, last weekend, we all know the story. In Charlottesville, Virginia, there was a group of white nationalists gathered to protest the removal of a statue there of General Robert E. Lee. You know, let me be very clear when I say this. The KKK, the white nationalists, the white supremacists, and all other hate groups, including those with liberal agendas, they're as wicked and as ungodly as can be. Ungodly, amen. It's not of God. It's not of Christ. You know, I think about what happened in Durham, North Carolina. There was a statue there of soldiers being toppled down. Just a lot of chaos, a lot of confusion, amen. Protests are breaking out. Even today, I hear about something going on in Boston this morning. I don't know what was going on there. I believe policemen are being shot at and all kind of stuff. And, you know, it's breaking out all across America as racial tension threatens to destroy the fabric of our nation, amen. You know, without a doubt, these are dangerous times. But let me just say this. Jesus loves all God's people, amen. You know, whether it be red or yellow, black or white, they are precious in the sight, amen. All mankind can be saved by the grace of God. All mankind is who Jesus Christ died for. I think about the winds of racial division are blowing. I think about also the winds of war right now are blowing. I mean, there's tension right now between many of the world's military powers. I'm talking about the United States. I'm talking about Russia. Of course, there's North Korea, there's Iran, there's Iraq, there's China. You know, others are ratcheting up the rhetoric, amen. Insults and threats are being hurled back and forth between nations which possess enough nuclear power right now. There's enough nuclear power to decimate the world. There's enough nuclear power right now to wipe this earth off out of the universe, amen. Our world is on the verge of a third world war. These are dangerous days. And let us not forget also, I believe the winds of religious persecution are blowing. You see, people who take their stand for the Word of God and for moral absolutes, they find themselves in 2017 under growing threat of persecution. I'm talking about right here, even in the United States of America. You know, when a person declares their faith in Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation, they're called intolerant of other religions.
That's right.
How dare you say that Jesus is the only way of salvation? You know, when a person stands in the Bible as the Word of God and simply says what the Bible says about sin and morality, they're called bigoted by those who hold other views. Amen. You know, when a church refuses to bend to public pressure, and a church takes a stand against sins like abortion and homosexuality and homosexual marriage, they're branded as domestic terrorists. They say right here that we're domestic terrorists, amen, and declared to be a threat to the peace and safety of society. Right now, the opposition is mostly verbal. I realize everything's about a lot of talk right now, but it won't be many days, I believe, until opposition turns violent. You mark my words, August 20th, 2017, as I stand here and preach to you this morning, you mark my words, persecution is coming to the church in America. There's persecution to the church. This is not America, amen. There's persecution in North Korea. There's persecution in China. There's persecution in Africa. There's persecution in Europe, amen. There's persecution to the church all across this world. But we haven't really seen it in America like they've seen it. But I promise you, the dangerous winds are blowing. I promise you, persecution is coming. These are dangerous days, and many other winds are blowing around us, and the storms, you know, the storm winds, they threaten to rip apart, you know, the very fabric of our nation, amen, the very fabric of our society, but we shouldn't be surprised. As a matter of fact, we're told very clear, in clear terms, in the last days, what the Bible say? Perilous days shall come. Perilous times shall come. That word perilous, you know what that word perilous means? That's a Bible word. It means difficult. It means dangerous. It means furious. Our world is going through right now perilous days. And the situation is only going to get worse. I hate to tell you this. It's not going to get better because we're going to have to get raptured out of here. Amen. It's only going to get worse. We live right now in a violent, stormy world. We can't leave the ship. Amen. Like Paul, we're stuck in the storm. I'm in this world until the Lord comes and gets me. I'm in this world, amen. I'm in the storm, amen. And like Paul, we're powerless to control the direction of the vessel. And like Paul, we're powerless to control the severity of the storm. And there isn't much we can't, there's much we can't do, but we can do what Paul did right here in our text. Notice, and I want you to get this, he was in the storm, but the storm wasn't in him. You hear me this morning? He was in the storm, but the storm wasn't in him. The anger wasn't there. The rage wasn't there. The hostility wasn't there. He trusted in God. Paul was able to rest in the storm. You know why? Because he kept his eyes on the master of the sea. Now, I want to take our text. I want to point out the blessings which allowed Paul to rest while others were filled with fear. Because I have no doubt this morning there are many people right now, they're filled with a lot of fear. They're wondering what in the world is going to happen. And even though we see a lot of fearful things around us, even though we see a lot of turmoil around us, and we see chaos and protests and violence all around us, we need to be like Paul right here, and we need just to rest, amen. The world may be falling to pieces, yes, but we don't have to. You know, the same blessings which anchored Paul in the storm have the power to anchor us in our storms. So, how do we stay steady, Brother Tim? How do we stay steady on a stormy sea? First of all, number one, we must rest in God's preservation. Notice what it says here again in verse 22. Jump back to verse 22. Bible says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Now, without question, nearly everyone on board the ship, they feared for their lives. Yet one man didn't fear. Notice, you see, that Paul had confidence in God. In other words, he knew God had a plan for his life. He knew the journey would not end in his death. God had already told him, Paul, you're going to get through this. Paul, you're going to overcome all this. Paul heard from the Lord. He had an encouraging word for the fellow travelers right here. The ship would be destroyed. Yes, the ship is going to be destroyed, but the passengers would all arrive safely. Even though what we're going on is going to be wiped out, all the passengers on this particular ship, you're going to survive. Matter of fact, for the record, that's exactly what happened. Jump down to verse 42 and verse 43. I want you to read those verses to yourself. Verse 42 and verse 43. Everyone on the ship made it safely to shore. When God said he's going to do something, I promise you, God's going to do it. Now, I'm thankful that we sail toward heaven under that same promise. Amen. Yes, there are times when our vessels are rocked by the waves of life. There are times when dangerous winds drive us off course. Amen. There are times when they threaten to destroy us. And yes, there are times when we find ourselves trapped in the storms from which we cannot escape. But we need not fear the storms of life. Yes, the storms are dangerous. Yes, they are frightening. Yes, they fill us with doubts about ourselves. Sometimes they might even fill us with doubts about God. You know, where's God in all this? Why isn't God here? And yes, we're always looking for a means of escape. We're always trying to get out of all the troubles we're in. But the storm cannot cause any damage in our lives that God allows. Amen. Unless God allows it, it's not going to happen. Remember old Job? God says, devil, you can touch everything about him. You can touch all of the circumstances. You can make a storm happen all around him. But his soul is mine. His heart, his life is mine. The only thing that God, the only thing that ever happened in my life is what God allows in our lives. Amen. The storms may be terrible. And the storms may be frightening and dangerous, but they will not destroy us. Every child of God, and hear me when I say this, every child of God will make it safely home. God will not lose any of us. The storm of life. I'm not talking about a lost man. I'm not like those that are saved by the grace of God. If you're truly saved by the grace of God, you're going to heaven, amen. And it's going to get rough. It's going to get hard. It's going to get troublesome in the world we live in. But if you're truly saved by the grace of God, you're going to heaven. But if you're not saved by the grace of God, you're in trouble, amen. If you're not saved by the grace of God, you have no guarantee of getting out of this mess that we live in today. I'm not saying the storms won't hurt us, because they will hurt us. I'm talking about Christians. I'm not saying the storms won't touch us, because they will touch us in some way. I'm not saying the storms won't destroy our wealth. And I'm not saying it won't destroy our health or our families or our churches, because they can destroy those things. I'm not saying the storms won't kill us, because it is a possibility that we might die. But what I'm saying is this. The storms may cost us everything we have in this world, but the storms can never destroy us. Amen. Because my home is in heaven. I'm going to a better place. Thank God we are His, and He's determined to get us home. Well, say there. Turn over real quick to 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me show you that. Matter of fact, I believe Brother Ed talked about it a little bit this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept how? By the power of God through faith and the salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Thank God I've got eternal security in Jesus Christ. Again, the Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I love what it says in Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Thank God I'm saved to the uttermost. From the guttermost to the uttermost, amen. I'm saved by the grace of God, amen. You know, like the survivors of the shipwreck in this chapter, you know, we all make it to shore, amen. Now, some will be on boards, some will be on broken pieces of ship, amen, but we'll all arrive safely in heaven if you're saved by the grace of God. You know, I ask you this morning, do you know that you know that you know you've been born again by the grace of God? You say, but Tim, I've got hard things going on in my life. I'm not talking about hard things. I'm talking about, do you know that you're saved? And if you know that you're saved, even though the life may be tough, and even though life may be difficult, you might have a difficult things going on around you, but if you're saved by the grace of God, when it's all said and done, you're going to heaven. Yeah. When it's all said and done, I'm going to be secure in Jesus Christ, amen. I want to make sure this morning that you know without a doubt that you're saved. Regardless of what we go through down here, we will make it home. So number one, we must rest in God's preservation. But notice also, number two, we must rest in God's presence. Notice what it says there in verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. You know, while the rest of the passengers spent their stormy night in fear for their lives, notice Paul spent a stormy night in the presence of God. Paul enjoyed the comfort of God's presence while the ship rocked. While the waves rolled, while the winds blew, Paul was sitting there saying, everything's all right. You know, the Lord's presence helped Paul endure the storm. Paul knew he wasn't alone, and that knowledge gave him hope. That knowledge gave him peace. You know, our world right now is indeed a stormy world. And sometimes we feel like we're all alone on the sea. Sometimes we sit there and say, nobody cares, and I'm all by myself, and we feel like no one understands us, and no one knows what we're facing, nobody cares about us, and no one's there for us. But you know, if we know Jesus, we always have him with us. Amen. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said in Matthew 28:20, for lo, I am with you always, even at the end of the world. You know, when the adverse winds blow, thank God he's with us. Amen. When the waves threaten to overwhelm us, he's with us. When we are blown ever closer to the rocks of disaster and defeat, thank God he's with us. Amen. When we feel all alone, he's with us. When our prayers seem to rise no higher than the ceiling, thank God he's with us. When life makes no sense whatsoever, he's with us. You see, when we hurt, he's with us. When we're broken, he's with us. When our dreams fall down around us, thank God he's with us. Amen. When we can't see him, he's with us. When we can't sense him, he's with us. No matter where we go, no matter what we face, no matter how we feel, thank the Lord he's with us. The child of God never takes a step in this world alone. I'm glad that he holds my hand. Jesus is in his people. And thank God we are never, never alone. John 14:18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, there will be times when he will make his presence known. And thank God those are precious times. And it's easy this morning to rest in his presence when we can see him working. It's easy when we can feel his presence. It's easy when we can hear his voice. But there are other times when it seems distant. And there's other times when he's silent in our life. And we wonder, Lord, where are you at? Lord, what's going on in my life? And it seems like everything's against me. And those are hard times. And even in those hard times, thank God he's there. You trust him to be where he said he'd be. He said he will be with you always. Even though you don't sense him, even though you might not feel him, even though you might not see what's going on, God has promised, I'll be with you. I promise you this morning, if you're saved by the grace of God, he's with you, amen. He's always there for you. An unknown writer penned the following comforting words. He said, safety consists not in the absence of danger, but in the presence of God. Amen. I like that. Another writer said, the peace Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble, but is rather the confidence that he is there with you always. We need to rest in God's preservation. We need to rest in God's presence. But number three, we need to rest in God's peace. Notice what it says here in verse 24. Saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. You see, in the midst of the storm, the Lord comes to Paul with a comforting message. God says, fear not. Now think about it. That's a command for Paul to be at peace. God wants Paul to know that he doesn't have to be afraid. He can trust God even in the storm. He says, Paul, I know there's a storm brewing. I'm the one that brought the storm on. But even in the storm, it's going to be okay. By the way, that same peace which comforted Paul in his storm, that's available for you and me today. We don't have to live our lives in fear. We can have peace. It is his promise to us. Amen. There's a lot of people. It amazes me how so many people live their lives in fear. They're always fearful. They're always worrying. They're always concerned about this and about that. Remember what he says there in John 14:27. I want you to go there. I want you to mark that verse in the Bible. Go mark that verse, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Thank God I don't have the peace of the world. I got the peace of God. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, the secret of enjoying his peace is understanding that he is in control of all of life. Our duty this morning as Christians is to turn to him in prayer and trust him to do what's right. Do you believe God's going to do what's right? I do. I know God's going to do what's right. Amen. And so if I know he's going to do what's right, I just got to walk with him. Amen. His peace is his promise to us. And his peace is one of the greatest blessings that his people can enjoy. Because I've got God's peace in my life. Even though the world is crazy, even though the world is turned upside down, so to say, thank God I've got God's peace in my life. Amen. Have you ever experienced his sweet peace? If you have, you know how precious it is. Amen. Rest in God's peace. But again, real quickly, we must, number four, rest in God's promises. Rest in God's promises. Notice what it says again in verse 24. Bible says, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. Now, God comes to Paul with a precious, powerful promise right here. He has promised that he will appear before Caesar. Paul will survive the journey, and Paul will make it to Rome. Now, God also promises that Paul, that every life aboard on the vessel will be saved. Notice here that Paul, he chose to believe the promise of God, and it gave Paul peace of his heart, amen, and rest for his soul, even though the storm was raging all about it. If God said it, I believe it. If God said it, that settles it, amen. I like that about Paul. You know, one of the greatest possessions we have as God's people is his precious word. You know, when God inspired his word, he was making a commitment to his people. Think about that for a moment. Before the Bible was ever inspired, you know, before the Bible was inspired, before the Bible was written, the words of God were declared verbally. God spoke in old days by verbal communication. They didn't have the written word of God as we have the written word of God. It was possible for people to attribute to God words that he did not say. And there'd be some people, there'd be false prophets saying, well, God said this and God said that. And that was a lie because God didn't say that. But because there was no written word, you know, they could pretend to have anything to be said. And it was possible for men to twist the words of God. But when the words of God were inspired, when the words of God were put in written form, God's word was confirmed to all generations. Amen. We have in our hands this morning everything God has to say to humanity. Anything you need to know from God is found right here in this blessed book. Amen. We have every commandment. We have every story, every detail, every promise God wants us to have. We also have his assurance that he will stand by his word. Amen. Thou hast magnified thy word above all names. God's word is settled forever. Bible says in Psalm 119 verse 18 that God's going to keep his word and it's settled forever. Amen. He will keep every word he's spoken. God will keep his promises to his people. Bible says in Hebrews 6:18, it was impossible for God to lie. He has, you know, God's going to keep every word he has to us. Amen. Has he promised to meet your needs? Yes, he has. He will. Amen. Philippians 4:19, he's promised to keep your needs. Has he promised to walk with you? Hebrews 13:5, he has. And he will. He says, I'll be with you today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen. Bible says, you know, in Philippians 4:7, he's promised to give you peace. God has promised to give you peace. He's promised to be with you every step of the way. Has he promised to use you? Acts 1:8 tells us he has promised to use you. He will use you. Has he promised to give you grace? He has. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Has he promised to work in your life to accomplish his will for you? He has. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. God says, I'm going to work all things together for your good. Has he promised to take you to heaven when this life ends? Yes. John 14, 1 through 3. He says, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. If you know Jesus, know this. All of God's promises find their fulfillment where? In the person of Jesus Christ. God's word shall be fulfilled. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. God says, I'm going to do it, amen. If you belong to Jesus, God's promises belong to you. Rest this morning in the promises of God. And then let me close with this. Finally, we must rest in God's purposes. Rest in God's purposes. Notice here in verse 24 and 25, God tells Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. God had a purpose in Paul's journey. And notice he was determined to bring Paul to Rome so he could testify of the grace of God before the most powerful man in the world. You see, God had a purpose. God wanted to make sure that Caesar got the gospel. And God will do whatever has to be done to make sure that everybody on this earth gets the gospel. There will never be a one person that ever lives. There won't be one person who ever lives on this earth that will ever have, be able to say, I never received the gospel. God will make sure that every person hears the gospel. God wanted to make sure that Caesar and all of Rome heard the gospel, amen. You turn over to the book of Romans. The whole book of Romans is about the Roman people receiving the gospel. They heard the word of God. They heard the truth. And it was determined, God was determined to bring Paul to Rome so he could testify of the grace of God and his goodness, amen. God had a purpose, and there was no storm that could derail that purpose from them being fulfilled, amen. Paul would go to Rome, and nothing in this world, the devil couldn't stir up a storm. The devil could not do anything to stop that, amen. Paul could rest rest in the sovereign purposes of God, knowing that God always accomplishes what He wants to accomplish. You see, God's purpose gives me comfort. It gives me comfort in my storm as well, because we really know what God is doing, but that's all right. Even though I might not understand why things are happening in my life, even though I might not understand why the storms are raging, God does. And I've got to trust God. Lord, why are these troubles happening? Why am I going through health issues? Why am I going through financial troubles? Why am I going through marital problems? Why is all this happening? God's always got a purpose, amen. We don't need to know what God is doing. We merely need to rest in the fact that God knows what He is doing. Take your Bible real quick. I want you to mark this, Isaiah 55. I want you to turn to Isaiah 55. I want you to mark verse 8 and 9. Very important verse in your Bible. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. I can't figure God out, and neither can you figure God out. Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, I may not know the purpose of God, but I know He knows His plans. And His purposes are for me. God has a purpose for my life, and I might not understand it. It's far above my communication with God. It's far above my understanding in my head. But one thing I know is God works all things for my good. God's got a perfect will for my life. I can trust Him to accomplish His will in my life, even if it means I have to sail through storms of pain. I might have to sail through storms of suffering. I might have to have storms of disease and hardship. God forbid, I might have to sail through some storms of death. But God alone sees the end. And God alone sees the reason that I'm going through that. And my duty is to trust Him. My duty is to know that He always does what's right and what's best. I might not understand it, but God does. Why? Because He's God. I'm not God. I hate to break the news to you, but you're not God. You don't have to understand everything. You don't have to try to figure out everything. If I can ever reach that place where I simply just trust Him by faith, knowing that God has a purpose in everything that happens, I can rest in my storm. Quit trying to figure it all out. Quit trying to figure out, Lord, why is this happening? Don't worry about it. Just trust God. You see, God's working in ways you can't see to accomplish what you can't even begin to imagine. Sometimes He works in the dark places of life. Sometimes He works out in the open and everybody sees what He's doing. He's worked in the past to line up the present, to lead us to the future that He's designed for us. God is always working. And our sole duty this morning as Christians is to trust Him. Regardless of what the eye sees, regardless of what our ears hear, regardless of what our mind thinks, regardless of what the body senses, regardless of what our soul feels, just trust God. Amen. Rest in His eternal purposes. And know, as the Bible says in Nahum 1:3, the Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. Rest in His eternal purpose and know, Ephesians 1:11, that He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Bible says in Isaiah 46:10, that we need to rest in His eternal purpose and know that He's declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Rest in His purposes. Everything, you hear me, everything is going to work out right in the end. One day, the winds are going to die. One day, the waves will lay down. One day, thank God, the lightning and the thunder is going to cease. One day the clouds are going to blow away. And until the storm vanishes, trust the Lord. You rest in the precious blessings He's given us. Learning to rest in His blessings. You see, that's what's going to help us stay the steady storm on the sea. Yes, racial division in America is a problem, and it may get worse. Yes, military tensions around the globe will continue, and it may well develop into something far worse than it is right now. And religious persecution, yes, it's going to continue, and it will grow far worse. And yes, there'll be storms in your life, and they may also grow worse in your life. But through it all, you hear me, there is a God in heaven. He controls all the events of our life, both in the church and in the world. And nothing, and I want you to get a hold of this, nothing happens which is not a part of the eternal plan of God and the eternal purpose of God. So this morning, let's rest in Him. And you'll know true commitment and true contentment if you rest in Jesus Christ. Even when the storm rages around you, it doesn't have to rage within you. Don't get worrisome. Don't get fearsome. Don't get angry. Don't get mad. Even though you're having a hard time maybe in finances, or you're having a hard time in marital things, or you're having a hard time on your job, or you're having a hard time in just life, whatever you're going through, whatever storms are raging in your life, let it rage around you, but don't let it rage within you. Amen. Don't let it control you. Let's bow in prayer. With heads bowed and eyes closed, why not this morning? Why not as a church, as a people? Why not we gather on this altar? Why not we pray for our nation? We need to pray for our families. Folks, we need to pray for our world. While the storms of life rage around us, they don't have to rage within us. And if you are sitting here and you don't know 100% for sure of your salvation, seeing everything that's happening with all the tension in the world, with World War III on the horizon, with everything that's happening, how can you sit back and not know 100% for sure you're saved? We have no guarantee of tomorrow. Why not this morning? Why not nail down your salvation? Why not know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven? Christ will save you if you'll only come to Him. Why not gather around this altar and say, Lord, I need your power. I need your grace. I need your strength.